The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You are listening to the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. For more, go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/sox. Chuck Arfine here with Ryan McGuffey, and we are here in Glendale, Arizona, literally sitting outside Camelback Ranch. We're here at the entrance, and your thoughts being here, the start of a new season.
Well, yeah, certainly there's an energy. Yeah. Not just from us being here, but the players that, you know, we just did this 2 weeks ago at Sox Fest, so it kind of felt like that was like the unofficial start to the season to me because of how close it got to spring training. But talking to some of the guys today, you know, today was the pitchers and catchers are supposed to informally kind of report today, and there were so many more guys here than pitchers and catchers. And I know that that's not abnormal in 2018 that hitters show up early too, but guys want the fact that people want to be here and that they just want to get going, they're chomping at the bit, so to speak.
And they've been here.
Yeah.
I was told that over the weekend there were already 45 major league and minor league players here.
It's incredible. They have 66 guys at a big league camp this year, and they just some of the PR guys, Bob Bechtol and some of the White Sox staff, were actually trying to remember if that's ever happened before. And I know
they don't have this in the media guide.
Yeah, some of the clubbies had mentioned that they know it had gotten to 60 before, but not in the times that they were here. And these guys have been here for a while.
So a little background story. You got here this morning. I was flying in this afternoon, and mm-hmm. we weren't sure if we were going to do a podcast or not.
Right.
And a couple of funny things happened. One, I land, and I'm texting with you, like, hey, let's do a podcast. And then I'm on the phone walking through the airport here in Phoenix, and this White Sox fan comes up to me, and he says, hey, you guys doing a podcast today? He was the guy who was sitting right behind me in the airplane. He says, you guys doing a podcast today? I'm like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to do a podcast.
You let the fans' voice speak out again. We're listening to them.
So we're here waiting for you to come here in the parking lot. And Chris Getz comes walking out of the complex here. And the first thing I said hello. He says hello back. And he says to me, you guys doing a podcast? It was meant to be to do a podcast here today.
Well, I mean, and I was here this morning and I talked to a lot of guys. Yeah. Some on camera, some off camera, and I kind of knew then before you, like when you were in the air, I'm like, we should do a podcast today because there were multiple storylines to talk about and to write about, and you know, we talked to Lucas Giolito, Nate Jones, Miguel Gonzalez, and Matt Davidson, and just hearing those names alone, you can kind of figure out what some of the storylines might be. But then just talking to guys off camera too, they're jacked. I mean, they're. And the positivity and the camaraderie and all the stuff that we've talked about and that people have heard about, you know, it's a real thing. It really is. And to see it now, they're in a clubhouse now. The hanging out in the off season is no longer a thing because this is
right.
This is their home base again. And, you know, the season's officially on. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
And tomorrow it's game on.
So Davidson said something interesting today about mm-hmm. his willingness to, if not be as versatile as possible, play whatever position is possible for him.
Yeah, he was asked specifically about being a DH, and he, you know, a lot of guys you'll hear say, well, I'd like to be an everyday player because it keeps you in the game. And he did mention that, but he said that he liked being a DH last year, and that I think he's so willing to be a part of this team and be a part of what's going on here that if it's DH, he's in. But he has a third base glove and a first base glove as well. And, you know, he also mentioned that I brought a helmet, too. And so it tells you how much that he's thought about being a DH. I mean, I asked him a question directly, just what did you learn about yourself last year? And he's like, I could go on and on. There's so many things I learned about myself. And we talked about the splits last week on the podcast for Matt Davidson in our Should the White Sox Go After a DH.
Did you bring those up to him?
He was already aware of them. He was aware of this. He was aware that the last month and a half of his season was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. And he basically, he's like, one of the first things I learned was it's a long, long season. And that's, you have to prepare your body and your mind for it. And it was
he was probably prepared for 3 months.
Yeah.
He had a good first half.
And he was, and he had never played that much baseball in his career. And he talked about that was one of the things he learned and one of the things he took into his offseason training this year was being prepared for the grind and the long haul. And that I think he's like, all you have to do is Google yourself. You'll know the things you need to work on because it's all right there on the internet.
This is the Matt Davidson I like, because when he first got traded here, you ask him some questions and he's an open book and he'll say stuff like that. And I love that about him.
And, you know, he went through some stuff, you know, when you and I were here two or three years ago, he talked about going back to the first baseball field he ever played catch on to remember what it was like to have fun. Wow.
Yeah.
Like to be so open about that and so honest and kind of just be so vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's why he was a good story last year, to be able to actually just kind of stay at the big league level, hit 26 home runs. Yeah, he struggled. We talked about that. But there was a lot of success in there, too, from a lot of the stuff that he dealt with. So, yeah, that was definitely one of the things that came out of Matt Davidson. The one thing I did like about him, too, was that he's – and there's been all this, you know, we're going to surprise people. We're going to – Nicky Delmonico said it to us at Soxfest on the podcast. He mentioned – I think it's time to take this rebuild phase and move it forward towards winning. And that, you know, if you look at the timeline, it's not necessarily where you would think this timeline was supposed to go, but we talked, you go back a year, and a lot has changed in 12 months, in one calendar year. And I think there's some legit, I'm starting to buy into the surprise some people.
Okay, so I have to talk about you for a second with that comment that you just made. Because if there is a person I know who drinks the spring training Kool-Aid, it is you.
You?
I drink it too.
Make the spring training Kool-Aid.
I know how to make it.
Yeah.
I don't always drink it, though.
No.
I don't always drink it. I know how to make it. I've
definitely had a glass or two. But you know how to make it.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. Juan de Castillo is a spring training.
Making his arrival here today.
Yeah.
Walking by. So I have come back from spring trainings in the past to Chicago, and I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
I've gotten texts from you to say, you're going to like this team.
Yes,
you're gonna, yeah.
Yes, I have done that.
Yeah.
And I have said that this team, I think, will be good, and I've been wrong. But we're not even at day one of spring training, and you're already drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. hang on.
Yeah.
My Kool-Aid doesn't have a wild card berth attached to it. I just said that, you know, if I'm in Vegas, the over-under 68.5, I'm going to, you know, I'm riding the over.
I'd ride the over, too. I was just having fun with you. But I do.
And I know that, and I appreciate that.
Okay. Nate Jones was here today. He's been here as well. And I don't want to say he's a forgotten man. If you're listening to this podcast, you're well aware of the possibility that Nate Jones could be a part of this team in 2018. But what a story he is. Tommy John, back surgery, elbow surgery. I mean, these are big injuries for a pitcher, and he's had three of them, and now he said, what today? He's absolutely going to be ready for opening day?
Full go. He's full go here in spring training. There's no...
He's like the bionic man.
There's no training wheels. You know, there's no program that's like, okay, well, we're going to start you on a throwing pro. There's no, like, Rodon plan for him right now. It's, you're part of the plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, he talked about the mental and the physical grind of that. Expects to be a late inning guy.
Well,
and
he should be.
He should be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, think about if Nate Jones is an eighth or ninth inning guy for this team and he's healthy. What that does for the rest of these chess pieces that they've acquired to make up a bullpen. I mean, you have Soria and a healthy Nate Jones at the back end of your bullpen. That's pretty good.
A year ago, he was in the World Baseball Classic and looking pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, the arc for his career was really looking good, and then obviously he gets hurt again. But if he can get back to what
it's all about health with him. I mean, it's just about going out there and I don't know how many guys can. A lot of guys wouldn't be able to pitch ever again with one of the surgeries he's gone through, let alone the three. But
the senior member of the franchise,
yeah,
got here in 2012.
He talked about getting to know guys, a lot of these new faces and stuff. And I asked him directly, you know, I said, you've been a part of franchises that had a lot of veteran leadership that had expectations to win, and now you're part of something like this. And he, I think he really kind of was like, you know, this part's fun. And he met a lot of Ricky love. A lot of people talked about what Ricky did from the moment they got here last year, and how from the second he took off, the buy-in, the organizational buy-in from top down.
Yeah.
And every guy, kind of unprompted, that we talked to today, mm-hmm. mentioned that. No one directly asked about Rick Renteria. Every guy brought it up on his own.
Yeah.
So it tells you the kind of commitment,
weight.
And it tells
he
you the weight.
Here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Ricky wasn't here today, which I thought was healthy for Ricky, because he's mentioned,
yes.
I think, on the forum with you at SoxFest, that he needs to
dial it back a little bit. Yeah, he's a little bit of a workaholic.
If he was here, we did not see him, which is. That's healthy too.
Yeah, he's not. Someone was walking by. I want to make sure it wasn't him. He, hearing that he was showing up for games at 10 o'clock in the morning for night games, not good. I don't want him doing that.
I appreciate the buy-in that he has for himself too, but I don't think that at some point.
It's a long season.
Yeah, it's gonna rub off.
10 a.m. Like he's doing.
It's not healthy, which I think is what Rick Hahn was saying. Is let's keep you in check too.
Yes.
You know. So it's great that everybody else is buying in, but. He can't be the guy who's opening the door and locking it at night.
All right, so you think this White Sox team can surprise in 2018. I think we need to get the hashtag going. Just start believing.
Mm-hmm.
Just start believing in this team. Believe that they're going to make the playoffs? No, but believe in where this is going.
Think about
where it's at right now.
And think about they finished 22-22 in their last 44. What if they – and Nate Jones brought this up. What if they – started 22-22.
That's possible.
Knowing that they can,
yeah.
With the group that the guys who finished September are the guys who are here, and knowing that if there is such a carryover effect, and they did start like that, that's interesting.
I haven't looked at the schedule. Like
not
that it matters kinda, really.
Does it really matter?
You don't know what to expect.
I guess
many
it would matter if
yet.
Like the Astros are six of the first nine, but they're not.
Well, sometimes they go on the road forever, and then or they have like one day off in April, which they had a couple years ago. I don't
think
it's anything like that.
A couple days off in April, and they start on the road, but you know, there's a lot of games against the Central, and I just think the schedule. It's hard to read the schedule early in the year.
Yeah.
Outside of like the Astros are going to be really good. The Indians took a while to get going last year before they got hot. But I'm just saying, what if they swept the Astros last year at the end of the year when they won the World Series?
Yeah, you know, so back to the Kool-Aid.
I'm trying to get you to drink more.
Well, no, I'm not afraid of drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm just not going to drink it before I've even walked in the building yet.
It's only because that you've been locked out today that had you just even gone to the bathroom in the facility.
All right, so tomorrow I'll be drinking. I'll be drunk by
the next podcast.
Drunk.
I will be the one trying to talk you down.
Yeah,
I guarantee it.
I'll be hungover from drinking way too much White Sox Kool-Aid after one day.
Yeah, you're going to go straight for the pitcher and not the glass. And it's, you know, it's pace yourself, Chuck.
But here's what I can see. Because there is a chemistry here, and there is something to be said about that, and it's only going to get better and better while we are here. I think that I could see, just because of that, and you need talent, obviously, to win, and you need coaching, but I think you put all those ingredients together, I could see them getting off to a good start because of that. How long will it be able to, will they be able to maintain it? I don't know the answer to that one, but I can see in the cards them getting off to a nice start in April.
And when you say drink the Kool-Aid, I'm thinking, like, if things go right, 77 and 85.
Yeah.
Feels about, like, surprise. Because that means they're going to...
That's a big improvement from the year before.
Oh, God. And they're going to hang around for a while in order to be 77-8. Like, hang around in...
My dream is for them to be in the conversation for a wild card in July. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Just I used to always say that. Just give me until, like July or August. Be in it.
Yeah, but that's one of the teams that... We kind of expected to be in it, but I do agree with you. Like, if they were like 3.5 games out of the second wild card in July, that puts them probably.
I'd love that.
6 or 7 under, right?
Yeah.
4 or 5 under.
Or you never know. You could be around 500.
Yeah, around 500.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 3 or 4. That'd be great.
Yeah.
And think about, again, the guys. If this team were to go 20-20 in the first 40, and then Eloy Jimenez and Michael Kopech are.
That's
kind of hanging around.
That's what I'm kind of saying.
You know?
Big boost that they're going to give the team for the second half.
Now,
Eric Fogel, our photographer, just said I'm drinking more Kool-Aid.
Yeah, see, I'm going to deflate the balloon a little bit, because what if Avi Garcia goes back to pre-All-Star Avi Garcia? Yeah. Adam Engel's new approach at the plate still equates to 200.
Mm-hmm.
Nicky Delmonico's feel-good story.
Hey! Someone's saying hello to me. I don't know who that is.
Nicky Delmonico's...
Oh, I do know who that is.
Feel-good story doesn't...
Sorry, that's floody.
It takes a... Maybe it's a rougher start. Tim Anderson gets... A lot of... Baseball's an unpredictable game.
All right, so are we going to call this podcast today? Should we drink the Kool-Aid? Or is it too early to drink the Kool-Aid?
I like that. But I'm gonna say...
Maybe tweak it a little bit?
I'm going to give it a definitive hell no.
Hell no. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
No, drink the Kool-Aid.
Oh.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, I see.
we're already drinking too much of this.
No, the question was, is it too early to start drinking the Kool-Aid? And I said definitive hell no.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a White Sox player who is already here. He's not a pitcher. And I'm liking the commitment. I'm drinking this guy's Kool-Aid. We're back with more on the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, in a moment.
I'm getting him a glass.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox, members FDIC.
And we're back. And the guy that I think I'm encouraged by. Now, when a guy shows up early to camp, does it really mean anything in the long run? Who knows? But it gives me a sliver of even more enthusiasm about Tim Anderson that he's here right now.
He's got a, you know, I've seen personality out of him.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw it at Sox Fest that I was like, wait, where's Tim Anderson?
I don't know.
Tim Anderson. I love the count. I love the confidence he has in himself. I love that, and I think that he needs, you know, sometimes like that weighs more for a guy who struggled than trying to figure out, find yourself on the field and find yourself off of it. And I think that's kind of maybe what Matt Davidson, going back to the last segment, maybe he kind of had struggles with both. I don't think Tim Anderson's confidence is wavering at all, and I think he's been chomping at the bit to show you he's more of the guy in September that he was the guy the first 4 or 5 months.
Chris Kamka gave us that stat. Was it last week? Yeah, with who had the record for most strikeouts and least amount of walks, that kind of combo. And only two people have done it, and it's Matt Davidson and Tim Anderson. Both are here. So they didn't, like, check out and be like, yeah, that was just a bad year. I'll come back and I'll be better next year. No, that's not good enough for them. They want to make sure that they will improve on those statistics and they can stay.
Keep him, like... Tim Anderson's used big names to compare, like, to compare himself to other local Chicago.
Oh, the Pippen Jordan thing.
Well, he's talking about him and Moncada being Pippen. They want to be talked about like Pippen and Jordan. It's not the first time he's brought up Michael Jordan. Tim Anderson. Yeah. I know he brought it up last year to Sierra about he knows what the number 23 means to Chicago and how people react when they come to Chicago and know about the Michael Jordan statue and stuff. The guy has huge aspirations. So that's the part I love about him. And I think, look, the personal stuff he went through is well documented last year. And the chip on the shoulder part of him, which I think he carries and he carries it well, if he could remove that and use it as motivation, which that's kind of what I'm seeing, then maybe we'll see more of like the rookie year Tim Anderson guy.
So sometimes words are just words. And oftentimes when you hear a guy say this kind of thing, they don't normally back that up. That's just how it works. But I remember there was a guy about 8 years ago, came to Chicago, talking a big, big game, and didn't really have anything, I shouldn't say anything to back it up, but not enough to back it up. And his name was Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, when he came to the Bulls, was like, he just thought he was better than everybody. And I was like, God, this guy's really conceited. And I was like, why is he even talking this way? Well, he knew he could see 10 miles down the road with his career that no one else could see. And maybe Tim Anderson is seeing the same thing.
And what did Jimmy Butler do to attain that status? Worked.
Yes.
Maybe harder than he's a superstar because he put the work in. Some guys have all the talent in the world, and Jimmy Butler, don't get me wrong, has all the talent in the world. But had he not put the work in, he wouldn't 30th pick in the draft, right? Yeah. He wouldn't be where he is.
I don't think he has all the talent in the world. I think
Some guys have to work to get the talent out of them.
Yes.
Some guys by doing nothing could pick up a golf club and hit it 310 yards, you know, chip on and putt for birdie. I mean, the point, bringing it back to Tim Anderson, is he's here because he's putting the work in, because he knows what he wants to be. And if the work equates to, I like the Jimmy Butler comp, that's a good comp. I mean, scary.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of, there's so much talk about who's coming and who's here and who's not here yet. And rightfully so, there's, all, you know, where the White Sox are ranked in the farm systems. But they have some guys currently on the Major League roster that, think about if Tim Anderson becomes the 280, 20 homer, good defensive glove and 85 RBI guy.
And walks 30 times. Wow. Please, just 30. Hey. 30, 40 would be amazing.
I mean, we'll take 30. Let's start with 30. You're drinking the Kool-Aid again.
Yeah, well, I'm making the Kool-Aid. That would be me making it. And if he does it, I'll drink it. All right, so this was, it's not even day one of spring training. It's like day zero. Day negative one of spring training.
I woke up here and have been to Camelback Ranch, Sloan Park, and back to Camelback Ranch. It's officially day one.
You're not allowed to say Sloan Park on the White Sox podcast.
No, I didn't say Cubs. I said Sloan Park.
Well, now you just said Cubs.
I did.
But anyway, so we're going to be here for a couple of weeks bringing you podcasts and all sorts of coverage on all platforms on NBC Sports Chicago. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And sorry, the guy who was sitting behind me on my flight on Southwest didn't get your name, but thanks for the compliment about the podcast. And you want to know if we're going to have a podcast? Well, here it is. Here it was.
They'll have guests all week, too.
Oh, yeah.
A couple weeks.
Yes, we'll be doing it for sure. And we'll talk to you soon. So this was the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. For more, go to their special website, www.wintrust.com/socks. And we'll talk to you soon.